Let us bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, a couple of years ago, I saw a post on the internet that has just stuck with me. I have no idea if you saw this post as well, but allow me to share it with you. In this post, first it pictured a person back in the late 1990s. They're at their mailbox and they got a whole bunch of junk mail. They're not that happy. But then they go to their computer and they see that they have received an email from their friend, and that brought them much joy. But then the very next picture showed someone in our day and age. They're in front of their email and they have countless emails given to them. But then they received an actual letter from their friend in the mailbox, and that is what filled them with joy. Isn't that interesting how that works? It can be the same friend with the exact same message, but just the way that message was communicated to you can make all the difference. And it's that idea of how communication can be brought to us that I want us to focus on. And let me ask you, which would you rather prefer? Would you rather prefer having me stand before you and preach to you? Or would you rather have Jesus himself standing before you and preaching to you? Well, the answer to that question is simple. We would all have Jesus stand before us and preach to us. But why is that? After all, it can be the exact same message proclaimed to you. In the end, I think it all boils down to the fact that Jesus is God himself who would be preaching to us. But here's the thing. The Lord is speaking to us right now. He is speaking to us in his word. And the people in Nehemiah's day needed to hear the Lord speak to them. But who is Nehemiah? What is the book of Nehemiah that we find in the Bible all about? We may not know a lot, if anything, about Nehemiah in the Bible. And because of that, allow me to give you the background of what is happening here. About 150 years before Nehemiah even comes on the scene, the Lord sent the Babylonians to punish the Israelites because of their unfaithfulness and how they refused to repent of their sins. And so the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem. They tore down the Temple of Solomon, and they dragged the people away into exile. The Israelites were in exile for 70 years. But after those 70 years were over, the Lord allowed his people to come back to Jerusalem. And in time, they rebuilt their homes. They rebuilt the temple. But they did not rebuild the walls surrounding Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a defenseless city. So why wouldn't they rebuild the walls? It's because they faced constant opposition by the people there who refused to let them rebuild those walls. And that's where Nehemiah comes in. Nehemiah was sent by the king of Persia to be the governor of Jerusalem and to help the people rebuild the walls. And so for 52 days, the Israelites worked nonstop, day and night, to rebuild those walls. After they had completed that task, this is where our reading this morning begins. All the people assembled as one man. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. Did you notice who asked for the word of God to be read to them? The people one of the Bible read to them. They wanted to hear the Lord speaking to them. They have spent so much time rebuilding those walls that now they wanted to spend some time hearing the Lord speak to them in His Word. And Ezra, the priest, was more than happy to do that for them. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon, and all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Did you notice how long Ezra read from the Bible? From sunrise till noon, Ezra read God's word to the people. And did you notice how the people acted when the Lord, or when the word of the Lord was spoken to them? They listened attentively. They were hanging on to every single word. They were listening attentively to the Lord speaking to them in His word. And notice what the people did next. All the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." And they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. After they heard the Lord speaking to them in His word, they bowed down, worshiped, and praised Him. The very fact that the Lord has revealed His word to us is reason enough to worship and praise Him. Since the Lord is speaking to us in His word, His word should be holy and precious and the most important thing. But when the Lord is speaking to us in His word, do we act like these Israelites or not? These Israelites listened attentively to the Lord speaking to them for hours. Would you do the same thing? If the sermon is lasting too long, or if the church service is lasting longer than an hour, are you still attentively listening to the Lord speaking to you? Or do you begin to think it's time to wrap it up? Here, when we act in this way, we can show that God's word is not always that important to us. But that's just how we sin here in public worship. What about in your homes? Is God's word important to you at your home? Or do you treat God's word as if it's nothing more than junk mail? Let me ask you, do you own a Bible in your home? If you do you know where your Bible is in your home? If you do you ever use your Bible in your home? And if you do, when you use the Bible in your home, are you always attentively listening to the Lord speaking to you? Or when you read the Bible, has it become nothing more than a chore and a burden that you must do? Here, we have the chance to have the Lord speaking to us, and yet we do not always take the time to fully listen to Him. But you may be saying to yourself right now, "Pastor, one of the reasons that I don't read the Bible in my home is because it's just too hard for me to understand what I'm reading." First of all, I will say to you, there are many things in Scripture that are easy to understand. Even a young child can know the basic message of Scripture that Jesus is their Savior. Second of all, I say to you that the Lord promises that the more and more you read of His Word, the more and more you will grow in your understanding. And third of all, I will say to you, there are things that are hard to understand in the Bible. There are times when you are reading God's Word and you say to yourself, "I have no idea what is being said here." But what a blessing it is that God provides called workers for His people. For not only does the Lord speak to us in His word, He also speaks to us through His called workers. Listen again to what was said. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Remember that Ezra and these priests have been reading God's word to his people for hours. You could just imagine how many questions these people had. But then the priests not only shared God's word with them, they gave it meaning to them. They made it easier for the people to understand what was being read to them. What a blessing it was that God provided priests to do that for his people. And what a blessing it still is that God provides called workers for his people. For called workers not only share God's word with you, but it's also their job to explain it to you. Because of that, the Lord says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. We are to respect our called workers, our pastors and our teachers, because the Lord has called them and he is speaking through them. But we have not always respected our called workers throughout our lives, have we? Have we ever played favorites when it comes to God's word? Have we ever unfairly judged one pastor or teacher to another simply because of their personality, or simply because of their style of preaching and teaching, or simply because of their interest and their hobbies? When the Lord calls someone to the ministry, it's not because of who they are or what they have done. He calls them to be faithful to his word in their preaching and teaching. And when called workers do that, God is speaking through them. And when they do that, we are to respect them. But we haven't always done that. We have played favorites, and we have unfairly compared one called worker to another. And do not take these sins lightly, for the Lord himself does not take it lightly. It was for this very reason that the Lord punished his people, the Israelites. They were unfaithful to him. And even though God constantly sent his prophets to his people, they refused to listen to the Lord speaking through his prophets. They refused to respect them. And so the Lord sent them into exile. That is why the people here began to weep and mourn when they heard the law of God, because they realized just how sinful they have been and how sinful they are. And we too should also mourn and weep because of how sinful we are and how we have not always listened to the Lord speaking to us in his word and through his called workers. But there's another reason that the Lord speaks to us. He is speaking to us to give us joy. When the people were weeping and mourning, Nehemiah said to them, "Do not mourn or weep. Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." They were not to grieve because this day was sacred to God. On this day, when all of these events took place, it happened on the day that was called the Feast of Trumpets. It was a feast that the people would hear loud trumpet blasts, and it was supposed to be a day of celebration. But how could the people possibly rejoice after hearing everything that the law said to them? They could rejoice because the Lord was their source of joy. The Lord was speaking to them about how much he loved them and how he had forgiven them. When the Lord speaks to us, he speaks to bring us joy. Yes, in his law, the Lord will tear us down and expose our sin. But when he does that, he does it in love. He does it so that you will see the need for your Savior. And in the gospel, he speaks to us about that Savior. Listen again to what our Savior said to us this morning. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The Lord is speaking to us to proclaim the good news, which is that we have a Savior from our sins. The Lord is speaking to us to proclaim freedom, that since Christ lived, died, and rose again for our justification, we have been set free from sin, death, and the power of the devil. The Lord is speaking to us to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. For each and every day of our lives, each and every year, we live under God's grace that he has given to us. And so when the Lord speaks to us in his law and we see our sins, let us humble ourselves before him. And then the Lord will lift us up by speaking to us in the gospel that we are forgiven and so that he could give us joy. And you know what? Even if Jesus were standing before us and preaching to us this morning, this would be the message that he would share. It would be the message of the law and the gospel. Because the law and the gospel is where the Lord is speaking to us in his word. When called workers are faithful in to God's word and preaching law and gospel, the Lord is speaking through them. And the Lord speaks to us to give us joy in knowing that Christ is the fulfillment of Scripture, that he is our Savior, and he is our strength who gives us joy. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. There he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering, and during the offering, please sign the Friendship Register in your pew.